Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Blue Apron, the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Check out this week's menu and get three meals free with your first purchase and free shipping by going to blueapron.com/allaboutandroid. And by FreshBooks, the ridiculously easy-to-use cloud accounting software used by over 10 million people. Try it free for 30 days at freshbooks.com/AAA. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life, and that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/android. Hello and welcome to All About Android. This is episode number 333, easy to remember, recorded Tuesday, September 5th, 2017, where your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I am Florence Ion, and this is my bot, fan bot, behind me. Oh. It is keeping my room cool as we do the show today.
You have a robot that turns?
I have a little robot. It's actually, he was built for... As you can see, it was his little eyes that he has back here. You can't see because lower third, but it doesn't matter. No. It looks like a Cylon. It doesn't talk, though, nor does it pretend to be a human and make me fall in love with it.
That you know of.
Yeah. That I know of. You're right. Yeah. I haven't gone there.
Just word of advice, don't ever fall in love with an oscillating fan. Don't do it.
It just ends in tragedy.
Yeah, you don't want to go there.
It keeps you cool.
You know who else keeps us cool? From coolsmartphone.com.
Oh, yeah.
Matteo Doni. What's up, Matteo?
Thanks for having me back on the show. It's always good. Thank you. I'm recovering from IFA 2017 in Berlin.
Yeah, no kidding. You're. What is the time difference between what you're used to and Berlin?
Just 1 hour.
Oh, so. That's not bad. But yes, all-night drinking rampages, that's probably what you're talking about.
Well, right? I got to imagine the time difference between Petaluma and where he is right now is a problem.
Yeah, a little bit of a problem, right? It's what, 3 a.m.-ish?
2 a.m.
Oh, okay.
So yes, it's,
oh, okay. It's still some reasonable. Clubs are still open, right? Yeah.
Yes. I'll no doubt hear my neighbors coming in soon.
And you'll be podcasting for another hour and a half. We always really appreciate it when you come on, Matteo, A, because it's always great to have you on, and B, because you sacrifice your sleep. Although you got 5 hours of sleep prior to this, so thanks for adjusting your sleep schedule for the show.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. I enjoy All About Android, and it's always good to be on.
Right on. And this is the perfect episode to have you on. Of course, we were just talking IFA, and Matteo was there in Berlin. We're going to be talking about the LG V30, the Sony Xperia XZ1, the Moto X4, Alcatel Idol 5, and you know, other things that are non-IFA. We've got more IFA things, but also Essentials, kind of big screw-up that they happened, and take a look at the Essential, which I have here in the studio. Before we do any of that, though, We have to do the ongoing segment.
Oh, man, now I'm bummed I'm not there because, like, I could really use an Oreo right now, man.
Yeah.
Well, hang on. We got some breaking news.
Oh, but we got some breaking Oreo news, Josh.
Oh.
Our featured technical director.
All right, that breaking news is we are in week two of Jason's dedication to eating every flavor of Oreo he can get his hands on.
Maybe so not Jason, every... But enough of them.
Jason, break me off a piece of that Oreo bar. Oh. What do you got there?
So we have coconut.
Ooh, interesting.
Oreo Thins coconut cream is a thing.
Oh,
it's a fresh bag. There it is. All right, let's see.
Yeah,
I want the live review. Okay, Jason.
Yeah. Coconut just doesn't seem like it jives well with the Oreo cookie. By nose, my nose, like it just doesn't... It's,
can we just note that
weird.
The Oreo package, by the way, was slipping off of the Essential phone that's on Jason's table? I just want to note that.
It's true. Go away, Google now.
All right, Jason. So first bite into the... Don't worry about the phone. First bite into the coconut Oreo. What is it like?
the flavors are very conflicting. I don't know. I don't know if coconut and Oreo cookie necessarily go together as beautifully as a traditional Oreo cookie.
Well, I believe coconut goes well with everything. I have less of a problem with the coconut flavor and more of a problem with the thins. Because I feel like the thins have to adjust the whole experience as well, too, because you're not getting nearly enough chocolate with that.
Can you twist the cookie, Jason? I need to know if you can twist a cookie like an original Oreo.
Well,
you have to be able to twist it open, right?
I'm probably going
to.
Here, we'll go the close-up, the product camera, as it were.
Yes.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh. Ooh, look at that.
Wow. Oh. Wow. Shoddy craftsmanship. Wow.
Is this you?
Oh. See, that's the problem with the, that's the problem with the thins, is that there's not nearly enough structural integrity to handle the twist, Flo.
What is going on?
It's like California.
God, yeah. Everything's happening on this Essential phone because of the Oreo cookies on top.
What you don't realize is that if you put an Oreo within the NFC adapter of a phone running Oreo, crazy stuff happens.
I'm slightly weirded out with the little Oreo pasty thing that's now stuck to the packaging. thing. It like it's fell out onto the packaging.
That's just all coconut.
Yeah, it's all coconut cream.
This is Ron's dream right here. just the coconut filling. Okay.
So the way you do it. Do it. All right, there it is.
Well,
fondant, maybe?
No. Sorry, just to check, how long do we expect this segment of Oreo cookie tasting to go on? Because last time I was in China, I found some amazing flavors that I've never seen elsewhere, not even in the US, such as green tea ice cream flavor Oreos.
Ooh. Yep.
Next time you're in China, not to complicate your life, but next time you're in China, go ahead and pick up a package and we'll pay for shipping.
Maybe we can get them off AliExpress. Knockoffs.
I just don't think coconut and Oreo necessarily go together very, very well. Okay, There's probably other flavors that do.
So the minimal review... Coconut Oreo, thumbs down.
I would not buy it. I would not buy coconut Oreo cookies. I mean, okay. I did, but I would not buy them again.
Okay. Would not buy again.
Put that on the label. Yep. We're good to go.
Yep.
All right, Josh, are you ready? It's your moment to shine because it's time. Okay, he's good. For Android news.
I don't normally do anything with this show, but I'll probably not screw up as much as Essential did. It's Android news.
Oh, very nice.
Wow, okay.
He made it contextual towards the end there. Good job.
Thanks for bringing it in. All right, Ron, you got the top story. Well,
so of the segue, the great segue by Mac and Josh there, not a good launch for Essential. Not good, Bob. Not good, Andy. last week, a little bit of egg on their face as a number of people who ordered the Essential phone received an email from the company asking them to send, and get this, a scan of their driver's license due to a credit card transaction issue to verify their identity. Many did this. They actually complied with this request, which is just insane. I wouldn't do that. And because of a configuration error with their email, those entire emails went to the entire list of people who got the email. So you scanned your driver's license, replied back, and it got mass sent to a number of people. And of course, this got reported everywhere. At first, it seemed like a phishing scam because it just seems insane that they would ask for your driver's license. but actually, eventually, Essential confirmed it was an issue on their end. And they confirmed that it was about 70 total customers. So it wasn't a huge, huge number, about 70 total people affected. The problem was resolved, but it was too late for some who had already replied and sent it. And then Andy Rubin did post to the Essential blog taking full responsibility. And actually, we have Andy here who can tell, what he said.
Yeah, Josh, do you happen to have – I didn't prep you for this.
Let's see what he has to say.
There's an Andy Rubin because he's on the line waiting. And
You just got to press the right button.
It's probably buried in a folder. Oh, hi, Andy.
There he is. There's Andy.
Hey.
Andy's looking much like he did 7 years ago.
Yes.
And what Andy has to say was, occasionally you have to eat crow. It's humiliating. It doesn't taste good. And often it's a humbling experience. So good job on Andy for taking full responsibility. Good job, Andy. And they also made good with the affected customers. And they gave those customers a full year of LifeLock to help kind of protect themselves.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, so like, that's just a blip on the public relations marketing radar. Clearly, Essential is giving OnePlus a run for their money. But then also throw into the mix that the folks at iFixit got their hands on the Essential and did a teardown of the phone, and it netted a score of 1 for repairability, which is as low as it gets. Taking the Essential apart reveals things like the USB-C port is soldered onto the motherboard, and there's tons of adhesives which get damaged as you try to if you take the phone apart to repair it. So if you're purchasing Essential, if you're purchasing an Essential with the hopes to repair it, you're probably going to run into some problems. So not a good week for Essential, guys.
Yeah, and just real quick before we continue on, iFixit is a sponsor on the network, so full disclosure there. Eric in chat room, Eric Duckman says, please, no crow flavored Oreos. So if you're going to eat crow, don't put them into an Oreo cookie. What do you guys think? I mean, this was kind of a stumble out of the gate. It was only 70 people, but still not good, right? Not a good look.
I mean, crow probably tastes like squab, so it's probably okay.
Okay. But still no Oreo crow. No crow Oreo.
No Oreo. But I mean,
it happens.
It happens.
Right? It happens. Only 70 people is not bad. It's more embarrassing than what actually happens. Yeah. I think.
What do you think, Mateo?
Obviously, it's only 70 people, but we need to see of how many Essential phone customers there are as a percentage. Right. I think that's a more important metric in this context. But in any situation, this is a PR nightmare. How do you deal with that as a startup? It's really difficult to say, oh, we're sorry, we'll just carry on now. I wish Essential all the best because I like the idea of what they're doing, disrupting the high-end phone market with their product. The product looks great. But this sort of thing is the sort of story that will go into the public mind and stick with them. A bit like the Note 7 going on fire or OnePlus being misogynistic. It's one of those things that for many in the general public is a very big liability.
I was going to say, it seems kind of amateur in a sense, actually. This is just the whole, like, hey, we need your information over email. It's just such an insecure way to deliver information in the first place.
Totally agree.
So it's sort of amateur, kind of like a thing. It's like a Kickstarter sort of situation. Why was there not a secured form?
Yeah,
indeed. Well, I mean, Kickstarter's done this a couple of times. I feel like Kickstarter is, you know, like this is a company that is getting off the ground and clearly has either someone who hasn't set up credit card processing correctly in order to require this, and or has someone who did not set up email correctly, which in 2017 is downright embarrassing. I mean, it's two separate issues that are equally, if one had happened, it'd be bad, but both are, double whammy, double stuff. In fact,
and not only that, Andy Rubin put together a team of very experienced people. I'm surprised that people with that level of experience and product knowledge and retail knowledge for online retail could make a mistake like that.
I wonder what the longer term ramification of this is. Probably not much. I think we probably as Android enthusiasts give Essential more of a pass because Andy Rubin is involved, right? We probably let them slide a little bit, but it was a pretty amateur move.
Yeah, and I don't think that's the case, Jason. I think ultimately they're going to be judged on the phone, which you've got in your hand, which I'm very anxious to hear what you think of it. But if the phone was crap, then it would be a dog pile, right? Because it'd be like on top of the phone being crap, you know, look at this is what happened. This is just an embarrassing blip. And honestly, like we'll forget about this in a week or two. Like if that, it's old. It's already old news to a certain degree.
Yeah.
It really did. So. It really was reminiscent, though, of the whole OnePlus kind of continuing OnePlus thing. I think I even tweeted out like maybe we need a clock for Essential that we can reset every time something happens.
No, I think they just need to like take a second to get them maybe a little more organized before they continue to, you know, toot their horns.
So I do have the Essential here. Leo got it earlier this afternoon, dropped it off on my desk like maybe, you know, 15 minutes before tech news today. So we talked about it a little bit on TNT. So I have by no means spent like a bunch of time with it. I've spent maybe, you know, maybe an hour and a half, and that's been while I've been doing shows and everything, showing it off. So I don't have a whole lot of insight on the device itself, but I have to say the design itself is really striking. Like, if it, like you had said a few weeks ago, Ron, it feels significant. You know what I mean? Like, you get it in your hands, it feels dense. It doesn't feel like a cheap piece of plastic, which it isn't. I mean, it's ceramic on the back, it's titanium on the side, glass on the front. It feels solid. And that's nice. I will say, though, and I'm telling you, I've been really careful with this damn phone because it's not mine, it's Leo's, and I've literally only had it maybe an hour and a half. Already, I don't even know how it happened. There's a little scratch right there.
Oh, there it is. Oh, that is. Oh, I can see why you're worrying. Sorry.
Yeah, so I'm trying to catch the shadow. There you go. You can kind of
see
it.
Not to make you feel bad, but
thanks for gasping.
I can see why you're upset. I'm sorry.
Now you know why it's laying on this horribly ugly yellow thing, because I'm afraid for it to touch anything. There's also these little micro scratches down on the bottoms here, on the front and on the back. I would have thought that ceramic would be pretty pretty durable, but apparently just having it on the table, literally just setting it on the table the way it was enough to give little micro scratches here, right? Because there's no bezel like popping out to keep this slick surface from scratching on literally anything that it's setting on top of. It's kind of crazy, actually.
So that just came out of the box today.
Yeah. Yeah, it just came out of the box
today. And there's already visible. So that's not good, right? I mean,
are we confirmed? Either that's not good or I'm not good. I don't know. I feel like I've been...
You do have a history.
I do. I have a history. Be forewarned. But, I mean, I've been really careful with this thing, and I've hardly had any time with it. And to find a scratch, it was just like a... Are you serious? Anyways, other than that, yeah, it's a really nice looking phone. I wouldn't own this phone without having a case on it, which really defeats the purpose of how beautiful it is, because I'd be worried about ever setting it anywhere other than a cushion.
Do we know is it covered in a Gorilla Glass of sorts?
That's a good question. I believe
we looked that up, didn't we? Did we confirm that?
I think it's Gorilla Glass. Yeah. But
yeah,
Gorilla Glass is never as
the days are muddled as, together. Yeah, but yes,
they all blend together.
Look, that does look really nice, though.
Yeah, the camera notch doesn't bug me. I wasn't
it's
sure.
Not
how
that bad, right?
Nah.
Open the app drawer. Cool. You see, open the app drawer, not the notification drawer, but swipe up. Yeah, you see how it goes under it? Like, that's kind of cool.
It looks super cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so the glass is Corning Gorilla Glass 5.
Okay. Well.
And it supports multi-touch up to 10 fingers, but no more than 10 fingers.
What?
Here, everybody, come over here. Let's all try and operate the phone at the same time. We need 11 people.
You just need one extra finger, so... I'm sorry I'm not there to help with this experiment, by the way.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. You can see I've got a little dangle, a dongle dangling.
Oh, is that the one it comes with? Is that cloth, wrapped in cloth?
Yeah, it's a little threaded.
Oh, that's really nice. I like
threaded
that.
Threaded dongle.
It looks so much more, it's a thing. It looks more stylish than the one that comes with the Moto. Yeah. The Moto one is just kind of plain and black and kind of long, actually.
The Moto one did come with the nifty little rubber thing that connects to your headphones, so they stay, even when they're disconnected, they stay tethered, which I think is a nice little touch. But I like the cloth one. That's not too bad. I mean, or you could just get Bluetooth headphones, Jason, and then you won't need that.
You know what? Screw Bluetooth. This weekend, we had a Bluetooth speaker, and I had my Pixel phone, and I was connected Bluetooth. Literally, the speaker was sitting on top of the dang phone. And it was still having little blank outs, which I'm just like, Bluetooth, like, this is why you don't just commit fully to Bluetooth, because it's not 100%. I'll tell you what's 100%.
Fully to you.
What's that?
It won't commit fully. So I was going to go deep into a relationship metaphor, but we're not going to do that. Let's move forward.
We'll peel it back. peel it back.
Can I just say one thing?
Maybe absolutely.
The form factor and the materials are just a gateway to kickstarting the U.S. Mocodile industry.
You think?
I don't know about that. I feel like if Mockadile was going to take off, it would have happened by now.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, at IFA, there was a lot of it. And we even spotted new Fruity phones that haven't been announced yet in Mockadile cases. as well as the screen protectors. I dropped the link in the chat.
Fruity phones? Seriously?
Oh, I see the fruit. He's talking about pears.
So,
yeah.
And grapes.
Well, so that's in doc chat.
Okay, well, that's okay. Stay unessential.
Stay unessential. Okay, so here's a little design kind of potential issue. When Leo was extracting his SIM card from this little slot here, you can see that there's another dot that's very similarly sized right next to it.
Yes.
I'm not sure if that's a microphone or what, but it's very easy to stick that SIM ejector tool into the wrong thing and you could potentially puncture the mic. So don't do that. But, I mean, you know, maybe don't position them so close to each other either because it's going to happen.
Well, and then you can't fix it because, as we saw in iFix today, the repairability score of this thing is a 1.
Yes.
And sorry I interrupted you earlier, Ron. I just got really excited because I tweeted today about the mattress tag that's inside the Essential phone that they discovered. But anyway, so, yeah, kind of a bummer. You can't really – you can't repair it. They showed it basically destroying the screen to take it off and to take it apart. Like, it's apparently it's impossible to do it in a nice little pop-off manner.
Yeah. Bleak is...
I'm not surprised by that, though.
Bleak is pushing back, saying, the eject hole is always on the tray. WTH. That's true.
Well, some people can't see very well. Some people maybe don't have very good vision.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's kind of the same argument as like the note inserting the stylus backwards on the note. Well, it's not supposed to do that, so don't do that. But you know what? Somebody's going to do it when they're not thinking about it, and they're going to ruin their device.
Fuck convention.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, there is such thing as personal accountability for sure as well. Yes, but maybe design it so that people aren't put in a place to do something like that. Anyways, it looks good. It looks like a nice phone. I'm going to use it for the next few days. I'm on the new screensavers this weekend with Leo. So in my time with it, I'm hopefully not going to have any more scratches appear mysteriously. And I will talk about it this weekend and kind of work my way through it. It won't be a full, you know, full review because I will have only had it for like 5 days, but I'm sure I'll be a lot more familiar with it.
Let's check back in next week too, after using it for a full week. I'll be curious to hear about that.
Yeah. I think once new screensavers happens, it's probably going to go to Leo. So that's probably the amount of time that I'm going to get with it. But we could definitely follow up, you know, and check back in on that. Cause it's a big phone. It's nice. I like it. Flo, you got the next one.
So this is actually really exciting for me personally, just because I think I've already chosen what I'm going to buy everyone for Christmas this year, if we do see these things by Christmas. But yeah, Google has announced that Assistant will be released on a number of third-party speakers, which is very exciting. Some of those brands include Anchor, well-known JBL, Mobvoi, Onkyo, Panasonic, and Sony. Also very well-known brand, naturally. Sony's new LFS50G. I don't understand why the company still names things like this, but it does. Its new smart speaker also includes a supposedly revolutionary, as it says here in all caps. Thank you, Jason.
You're welcome.
I want to ask you, why is that in all caps?
Because it's got a digital clock readout. Isn't that amazing?
I mean, it is. It does harken back to like... the old school Sony alarm clock days, right? Yeah. I mean, we had those Sony alarm clocks with the giant clock. But anyway, this is going to be $200.
Okay.
So a little bit more than little Google Home that I've got behind me.
But it has a digital clock readout. So.
It does have a digital clock readout, which the Google Home behind me does not have. Also, Google Assistant's coming to appliances later this year. So, you know, you could ask theoretically, I suppose, ask your dryer if your clothes are ready for the taking. But, you know, my dryer and washer, which are LG, by the way, because my entire house is powered by South Korea at this point, it sings to tell me when things are ready. So I don't know if I want to replace voice with the beautiful melody that chimes. It's a beautiful melody.
It is.
It brings me a lot of... You know that chime. You know that chime.
I know that chime. Matteo, do you think that... I mean, what do you think about Google Assistant hitting more speakers? I mean, it's the obvious direction, right? We're seeing this a lot on Amazon with their Echo and, and their Alexa, opening up Alexa. What do you think?
I think, yes, it's a great idea. It's a great way to get the platform and the digital assistants out there for more, or let's say less techie consumers. IFA as a whole, the theme was either Amazon's A Assistant or Google Assistant on all the devices. So there's around about 50 devices launched with Amazon's one. There's about three or four that I saw launching with Google Assistant. And also the fact that Google's Android TV now has Assistant built in for many TVs is also another example. So if you have, say, the Sony speaker sitting in the living room and a Sony TV with Android TV and Google Assistant, you can use your TV remote control as a microphone, similar to Amazon's Fire TV. You can stream YouTube content or start Netflix video from your Sony speaker without having to touch anything. So that it seems to be the way things are going, this integration of digital assistants into everything. And so far, Amazon and Google are at the forefront of that. Tying into the what we're saying about Amazon's Alexa system, we also have the news that you can now invoke Cortana from Alexa, which means that the utility of Alexa itself has increased.
Absolutely, and it's a lot. And it's becoming very ubiquitous. I mean, in a lot of devices, feels almost like Google is playing a little catch up. I mean, but they're, you know, it's a new category, so
it's the future.
Far behind, I suppose. The future.
I mean, no, I'm being totally serious. Like, it's the future. I've been hearing a lot about just like talk about, you know, AI becoming the new important part of the consumer experience, and I find it very interesting. And of course, you have these seemingly, I guess I don't want to call them open source, but you have these open, you know, plugins essentially that you can just plug into your device and give it, you know, artificial intelligence. I mean, that's crazy and it's cool. But it's also very interesting to note that we are seeing the same names like uttered over and over again. It's Siri, it's Google, it's SL, and it's Cortana. So it's all these companies and these brands that we've already really incorporated into our lives, and now they're just becoming sentient.
Pushing further. I don't know about becoming sentient.
Yeah, I was trying to be dramatic, but yes, they're pushing further, precisely.
I mean, it's clearly the next phase or the next frontier of innovation is going to be around voice. I mean, it's going to be around voice activation. You know, AI to a certain degree, but I think that, like, going back to Sundar's presentation when they announced the Home and the Assistant, well, at least when they unveiled the assistant and unveiled the Home with Assistant, how it's the softer layer running underneath it with the AI and the knowledge. But our interaction, it's moving to voice. Mm-hmm. You know, like, clearly the tablet controlling everything, everybody's kind of rejected the tablet already, right? And while we control stuff with our phone, it's this idea of this presence in your house around you that helps you, you know, run your household. That's the Star Trek future. That's where we're leading. So I'm not surprised that everyone's racing to get there. And this expansion by Google makes sense. It's, you know, go OEM. You know, you can get more homes by throwing Assistant on, you know, 20 powered speakers out there as opposed to just selling your Google Home.
Yep. And that's how Google does everything else. That's how it does its watch business. That's how it does the smartphone business. It's genius.
Yep.
It's genius.
All right, Ron, you got the email.
Yes, so we got an email from Nick.
Just
to say what we were saying there about voice assistants and AI, there's no better confirmation of that than what Huawei announced at IFA, which was their new chipset, which will be in Android devices. But it has an NNPU built in, which is a neural network processing unit, which means your AI gets done locally. And that means that you have less latency. So our current generation of voice assistants and assistants have to make calls to the cloud, to whether it's Amazon's or Google's one. There's a slight latency there. But the fact that mobile chipsets are now having that built into the system on a chip means that that's definitely the path we're going down. And it's going to get faster and better over the coming years.
Go Huawei.
All right. Cool. All right, so on to the email. Email comes from Nick from Northern Ontario in Canada, a friend to the north. And Nick says, over the years, the most common cause for me to upgrade my phone has been the ever-diminishing battery capacity. I recently bought a OnePlus 5, and being that it's not that hard to take apart, I'd appreciate your opinion on buying a battery to replace later when the original starts to die. I tried buying batteries late in the phone's lifespan, but the replacement has always been no better than the tired original. Quote, OEM batteries are on eBay now for $20. Should I grab one while they are fresh? Mateo, what do you think? Would you trust buying an OEM replacement battery for OnePlus 5 off eBay for $20?
Personally, I wouldn't. But that's partly because I don't trust myself in installing the battery correctly. as we all should know, installing a battery and re-putting the phone together is a tricky process, especially with an industrial design like the one of the OnePlus 5. It's tough. I personally wouldn't do that. I would probably recommend not leaving the device on charge without being supervised after you've changed the battery, because it's such a tight fit in the OnePlus 5's industrial design. I wouldn't be surprised to see incidents similar to the Note 7 after it's been put back together.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, looking at iFixit, sponsor of the network, they gave the OnePlus 5 a 7 out of 10 repairability score. There were a lot of really good positives. The battery was kind of like, it wasn't a negative, it wasn't a positive. It says the battery has a pull tab making removal easy, but the motherboard must be removed to access it. So there's a little bit of complication there. The idea of buying batteries when you first get the phone versus a year on when you need to replace the battery, and how the supply might be different at both times, was something that I hadn't considered. If you really think that you're going to hold on to this phone and you are feel comfortable replacing the battery and you've done it before and you know what that entails, sure, I don't see why not. Yeah. $25 battery, like a good, now, why not? Have it.
Seems like a good strategy. Can't hurt. I wonder, saying that the batteries that he buys later in a phone's life aren't as good as the one you're putting in. That seems weird, because if it's a fresh OEM battery, they're not going to drain just sitting on a shelf, right? I mean, like they need to be charged and discharged and I imagine there's some drainage from the lithium and the lithium, but that's chemistry. I don't know exactly how that works. But if you buy one now, you're going to put it on a shelf until you need it anyway. So like, I don't know if you really need to pull the trigger right now in case you have one. If it makes you feel better, go for it. Yeah. But I would just be like Mateo says and like Jason says, just be careful. Don't blow up your phone.
I will say my husband has fixed his own Nexus 6P in this manner by sort of buying like a third party battery long after the fact, though, like a year and change after buying the phone. And the phone actually works better than it did coming from the manufacturer.
No way. Really?
Wow.
Yeah. So it was just because I guess there were a slew of Nexus 6Ps that had battery issues. And so like replacing the battery just kind of fixes it. Long story, but yes, it worked for him. But again, it's a different situation from the OnePlus 5. And like you said, there is some, but why not just get like a recharge, a battery pack to carry around in case the actual battery dies. Well, and then if the battery dies further down, then, look for something.
Well, it's funny because that actually, I've been trading emails with Scott, who wrote in last week about the case, as Jason, as we're calling it, Casegate. And he and I, and he's great. Scott's great. He called me out on showing a little bit of my economic privilege and saying, if I drop a phone, I'll buy a new one, and not everyone can afford that. And I appreciate that. Thank you for keeping me in check, Scott. But one of the things we're talking about over email was how he prefers for a replaceable battery, which is a big thing among Samsung users, being able to pop out. My dad's one of those. He likes Samsung. He likes his old Samsung phone because he can pop out the battery and put in a new one. And my response to that is, I carry an external battery that's got quick charge, who's the Mophie people make great external batteries with the little green quick charge port and a USB-C cable. And I just throw that in my laptop bag and I have it when I need it, and like the next bit Robin would die within a couple hours and I would throw it on the battery or carry my quick charge plug and cable with me and just plug in. It became part of my routine as opposed to popping out a battery or replacing it or something like that. Everybody, you find a solution that works for everyone. So,
word.
That was my point.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's do an ad.
All right, let's do this. It's time to get hungry. If you aren't hungry already, you're about to get hungry because this episode is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone while supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. It's been awesome for our family. We get the Blue Apron box. We pin the recipes up onto, you know, next to our fridge. We know those recipes. We have the day marked on what day each of those recipes is going to be made. And, you know, we'll bring the kids into the experience because you have everything already portioned out for you, already laid out. And they know what you, they get hungry because they know what we're working for. We're working for the end result, which is, you know, the picture on the menu. So it's actually a really cool process with a family. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. There's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. You can go and customize your recipes every week based on your dietary preferences, based on your busy schedule. You can go in there and skip a week, and then the next week choose to get that menu because you like that menu maybe a little bit better. It's really up to you. Choose from a variety of new recipes every week, or you can even let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you if you want to keep things a mystery until you receive the box. Some meals include summer vegetable and egg paninis with Calabrian chili mayonnaise and caprese salad. There's soy glazed pork and rice cakes with bok choy and marinated green beans, a skillet vegetable chili with cornmeal and cheddar drop biscuits, garlic butter shrimp and corn with green bean salad and roasted purple tomatoes. All different types of meals, and every week they change up the menu. Blue Apron has established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. By shipping the exact amount of each ingredient required for a recipe, Blue Apron is also reducing food waste. And their freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook, or they will make it right. Be sure to check out the Blue Apron Market on their website for new pantry items as well. Blue Apron knows you're busy, so now they are offering 30-minute meals. These meals are made with the same flavor and farm-fresh ingredients you know and love and are ready in 30 minutes or less, so it's perfect for your busy schedule. Visit blueapron.com/allaboutandroid. You'll get 3 meals free with your first purchase and free shipping. Not a bad deal. You'll love how good it tastes and feels to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/allaboutandroid. Blue Apron is a better way to cook. All right. We've already talked a little bit about hardware, but now it's like the official hardware block. Let's do it. The big announcements from IFA started, I feel like, with the LG V30. And Florence, why don't you take this? And I know Matteo also has this in hand. You both probably have thoughts. But Flo, what's up?
So here in my hand, I actually have a pre-production unit. So this is, I guess, technically a Korean variant. I've got a Mint SIM in here, which is on the T-Mobile network, and it's been running fine. I used this phone in New York all of last week, and I really freaking enjoy the LG V30. So I guess first, the important stuff, which is the specs. So inside, there's a Snapdragon 835, which is on par with the rest of the brood. 6-inch, 18 by 9 ratio OLED display, 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigabytes of base storage, dual 13 megapixel rear facing cameras, which both shoot at an aperture of 1.6, optical image stabilization, which is amazing, which is just awesome to hear, 32-bit hi-fi quad DAC, and I have a note about that in a second, 3,300 milliamp battery, and Android 7.1.2 Nougat right out of the box, which is very satisfying to see. Now, just, I guess, a little quickie about the 32-bit hi-fi. Did you guys hear my Instagram stories last week? Because they sounded really tinny, and I had recorded them all with the V30, and I just didn't like the way they sounded on other people's phones. And then I went back and I did some stories with the Pixel, and everything sounded kind of just the way I like. So I don't know. I mean, I'm a little confused about the speakers. I'm a little iffy on them right now.
I mean, my understanding on the DAC is that it's going to have improved performance when you're listening to high-quality audio as opposed to recording high-quality audio.
No, true. But also in that situation, they were also like very tinny. I was streaming Spotify from them, and they just didn't sound... I don't know. Maybe I need to play with the settings or something. So that's just a thing I noticed as I was... kind of as I've been using it. Otherwise, like sound with headphones, it sounds great. I played video games on this thing my entire flight back, and I still have, let's see, I still have about 50% battery after having an airplane mode for quite a while, which is awesome. And I also brought some camera samples if you guys wanted to go through them really quickly, just kind of show the difference between the wide angle and the regular angle. So this is the regular angle shot, kind of shot in overcast light. This is a wide angle shot. What you can't see in this shot from watching the video is that there's actually a tiny bit of distortion happening kind of around where you see like the taxi cab is and where the people's heads are. Mm-hmm. Like there's a tiny bit of distortion. So if you move forward, thank you, Josh, for being a great sport, by the way. As we move forward, here's, you know, lovely scenery of New York City. The next shot is the wide angle. And immediately, like, you could see the perspective, how it just shifted. Mm-hmm. You know, everything just looks like it's kind of growing up, in a sense. And the next shot, if you don't mind, Josh. Oh, yes, this is a selfie I took. That's Liam. It's Bradlin, friend of the show. And I also feel like it was kind of distorted. This, we can move forward. Next shot is also just a little scene. Again, it looked like a lot of overexposure happening kind of in like the sky area. This is all just shot automatically on the wide angle. And then the last one is a regular angle shot, which I was quite pleased with. It's a very sharp image. The colors were good. There's a slight like blowout in some of the lighting if you look like very closely. But other than that, like the picture was very easy to edit in other apps and that sort of thing. So I don't know. I'm super pleased with just what I've been using. I've been taking phone calls on this phone. I've been using it to play games. I've been using it to chat with friends. And I'm overall very, like, I'm really impressed in kind of in a way that I'm like, hello, LG. Why did you not show up like this for the G6? It's a super nice phone in person, guys. It's super
nice.
What's
the difference between the G phones and the V phones?
The V phones are supposed to be like, originally they were marketed for like the content creators, and we've got all these cameras and they're just supposed to make your life great and making content great. And then they were kind of more utilitarian up until this particular model. And then the Gs were supposed to be the flagships. But it was just this year that they adopted that dual camera.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. Right?
Well,
it's been a couple years, guys.
the V allegedly stands for video, but this is... It was for video creation, the V series. But it now seems to be the talk in LG's TikTok annual products flagship release cycle. So the G is the spring one, usually around MWC, and the V is in October, a bit like Samsung has the S and the Note range.
Right.
But so, I was really impressed by the camera, and I have to say that this was pre-production. I've been told the software will be updated. The hardware is close to final on the devices we've been playing with, but the software still has some tweaking to be done to it.
Yeah,
I
was just going to ask Mateo, what are some of your thoughts as far as your time with it compared to what Flo is saying? Are you in agreement on the strengths of the device, or?
I'm in agreement in the strengths of the device. I haven't had any issues with the audio, but that's probably because I have a particular taste of 90s music, which may differ from Flo's.
Actually, we have same taste in music, Mateo. I think we've established this before.
Great. So it's all about NSYNC and Jennifer Page then.
Yes, precisely. It's just a little crush. But even in that instance, I need to play around with the sound a little bit. I was really impressed through headphones, just like listening to music on the plane and such and playing video games. Yeah. There is one thing I do want to bring up, however, which probably doesn't help that I don't have the link at the ready, but I saw a couple of tweets go out this morning about possible advertisements on the lock screen happening, the V30, which I haven't experienced anything of. I haven't experienced any ads whatsoever, but apparently there are some units out there.
I haven't seen those either. Whether it's a rogue app or that's a particular international version which is optimized for a carrier, where that happens often, we're not sure yet. What I did notice is there was some Korean widgets on the device I was working with, which were quite in pole position on the home screen. But that may just be the pre-production setup for demoing for particular partners. So do you have the one that says V30 on the back, or do you have the one that says Bang & Olufsen, their partner, audio partner?
I have the one that says V30 on the back.
Okay, so I found it difficult to recognize which one was which, because I was told that the international model had the B&O logo and the US one had the V30 logo. But
that makes sense.
I may be wrong.
Remember, they've had that B&O partnership going on for a while now. And as far as I remember, it's like really hard to get a hold of any of that B&O branding in the US. Now, I'm sure it has to do with trademarks or something of the sort.
Yeah. But the good news is that this is the first V range phone which is officially coming to Europe. So previously it was only for Asia and the US markets. The V30 is now coming to European markets officially, which will be very good for LG getting an October and holiday season flagship to compete in the market with.
I will also say, you guys, I have not had a case on this thing. I do not have scratches on it, Jason. I'm sorry. I was just inspecting it. No,
don't
I'm
make Jason feel bad.
This is not because of you, Jason. I just mean to say that, on the G6, when I immediately took it out of the box, or when I first took it out of the box, I immediately dropped it by accident, which ended up scratching it. And it felt like a very soft chassis compared to this particular chassis, which feels a lot more rugged and yet polished. And I mean that very honestly, because there's like this, just the way that like the screen bubbles up. It's just very nicely curved, just the way that the edges are curved. This is just a really nice phone. I think the only slight bummer is that there's a tiny bit of a camera bump, which a little camera bump always makes me a little nervous. I personally don't like camera bumps at all, even if they're incremental.
I don't mind a camera bump if it keeps the device that has a glassy back from being flush on whatever surface I put it down on. At least the camera bump is going to keep the rest of the back protected in some way, shape, or form.
But I want the camera protected. That's the important part.
Well, but
that's,
I mean,
the memory capture.
Usually the lens of the camera is still hidden behind a tiny bit of extended bezel around it. You know what I mean? So the lens, I don't know. Yeah, everybody, I guess, feels differently about that. What do you protect?
I would say that the only downside to the material design and choice of materials on the device is that it is a very big fingerprint magnet, regardless of the color you choose. So
I'm rubbing it on my mouse pad as we're talking, by the way, because I keep cleaning it.
It's a very big fingerprint magnet. Therefore, obviously, I'll bring this back to it's a good excuse to buy Mocodile cases for it.
We all need an excuse for that. That's for sure. Okay, so Sony was also at the event at IFA. They unveiled the Xperia XZ1 and XZ1 Compact. So both have Snapdragon 835, Android Oreo. So that's not bad when it launches. 19-megapixel rear-facing camera, IP68 protection, 4 gigs of RAM, 2,700 milliamp-hour battery. The XZ1 has a larger 5.2-inch full HD HDR display, 13 megapixel front facing camera, and 64 gigs of internal storage. So that's the large one. 5.2 inches is the large one. We were just talking about this last week, how Sony is dedicated to the smaller form factor, and there's a lot of people that like that. Xperia XZ1 Compact is a 4.6 inch HD display, 18 megapixel front facing camera, 32 gigs of internal storage. This is going to launch globally this month. No exact date, no exact price, although there's a leak in pricing somewhere around $650 to $750 when you do the conversion. Now, Matteo, you had mentioned before the show that Sony had a sad event. What do you mean?
As someone who's been to a few of these events, of this type of event and a few of these Sony events, it was in a way deflated. It was as if they were going through the motions, but there was no oomph to it.
Huh.
The Sony Xperia XZ1 and XZ1 Compact are lovely devices. They're made out of one single piece of aluminium that gets cut to form the shape. The specs are flagship specs. The camera is very good. But there's nothing really big to shout out about the phones, apart from we've got a small phone. And our normal one is smaller than the 5.5-inch standard that you seem to see from other manufacturers. When the device was announced on stage, there was no cheers, even from the Sony employees there. The biggest cheers came from later in the announcement when they said that it was launching with Android's Oreo, with Android 8. It was one of the first devices out of the gate to launch with that. And the fact that they had a new 3D scanning mode app, which will come to other devices in the future, but at the moment launches purely on these new XZ1 devices, which allows you to use the camera to do a 3D scan of an object or of your head or of yourself, and then use that to create a 3D avatar for emojis and videos, funny videos and so on.
I didn't mean to interrupt. It's just like, why do we need a 3D scanner of our face on a phone? It's just completely...
I'm sure they will have something else in the future. This is very Project Tango-like, but without needing an expensive Project Tango phone for that function. It's a great feature, but the way they're communicating this and just the format of the event, I was really quite saddened to see this company, Sony, which is supposed allegedly one of the biggest, most innovative companies in the world, not really put much effort into this launch, which was sad to me. That's why I was
Do you think
sad.
They've given up? Do you think they're just throw, you know, that's it, guys. This is for us.
I think that there are some telltale signs that can be interpreted as they've given up. So they made these launches at a press conference at IFA. They had stage time, they had the press all there, and they didn't even announce their mid-range devices, which are the XA1 Ultra and XA1 Plus, which run MediaTek device chipsets. They're very much, we've made a cheaper version of the XZ1, here it is for if you can't afford that one. It was really quite sad to see. Obviously, in the actual demo spaces, they had lots of cool stuff for cameras, for Google Assistant. I had a demo of the Google Assistant from a German hipster. It was all great, but the actual press conference itself was disheartening. So I'm sure they'll do very well. They'll do very well in India and Asia, but in the US market, I doubt they will. I asked multiple times about the fingerprint scanner on the XZ1 and the XZ1 Compact, and they couldn't give me an answer on if this feature was going to be available in the US.
Which it has not been historically. Yeah. Sony's like one of the...
For like 2 years now.
Yeah. Just We've continues not to not bring the fingerprint reader to their devices in the US for some sort of patent reason or something. Weird, but...
I was going to say, Sony hasn't really thrown like a huge soiree in several years. In fact, I don't really recall. I mean, I know we've had a couple of Xperias announced, but there hasn't really been much fanfare for Sony around this time of year. I would say personally, since maybe like the Sony Smartwatch 3, which was 2014.
Yeah, we're around like 2014.
Yeah. Yeah, it just seems kind of like, oh, Sony did a thing, and it's like, okay, well, I'm kind of not really expecting those phones to maybe come to the U.S. I'm, you know, expecting it to not have all the features.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so that was Sony. Ron, you got Moto.
I did get Moto, and Moto X is back, this time with the Moto X 4. All right, so the announcement as it laid out was a Snapdragon 630 chip, 5.2-inch 1080p display with a 3,000 milliamp battery. It's got dual rear-facing cameras, no Moto Mod support, very upsetting. But it does have Alexa and Assistant, and it's also got intelligence that's built into the camera for recognizing landmarks and other things. Not clear if that's Moto's own secret sauce with the camera or via Google's as a yet-unreleased lens. But very curious to see that. The Moto X used to be the flagship, but now it's the mid-ranger behind the Moto Z series, which I'm still loving the Moto Z 2 Force that I'm using as my daily driver. So this has got announced to be in Europe in September for €399 and available in the U.S. in the fall. So the Moto X 4 is a nice little phone, I think. Nice little mid-ranger right there.
It's so pretty. And I really love that it has that little lens functionality just because I could see it just be a really cute selling point. I could see that making a really cute ad. And you know, Moto, they really like the kids. They like to put the kids in their ads.
And I got to say, I know this is about the Moto X 4 and I haven't had any hands on time with it yet. But, you know, I'm using the Moto Z 2 Force as my daily driver. And I think next week, maybe I'll talk more about it. I'll do my full review next week. Mm-hmm. But I'm really impressed by Motorola. I mean, I feel like with the sale from Google back to Lenovo, and then you know, with the loss of Rick Osterlo and all the all the kind of what are they doing? It's a phone that I would suggest somebody buy. You know, and by the looks of the Moto X 4, I think Motorola is getting more right than they're getting wrong these days.
Yeah.
Did you get any hands on with this when you were there, Matteo?
Yes, I did. So I was at the Lenovo launch, I believe it was Thursday evening, and I got some hands-on time with the Moto X 4. They had the full suite of Moto mods for the Moto Z series of devices. The Moto X 4 is a lovely, lovely device. As Ron said, I would recommend this to friends and family who aren't ultra techie, but it's a really nice phone to hold. It's made out of very nice materials with that glass back, glass front. And the two colors they're offering it in, this blue and gray / black, are very, very nice. As we can see in Vlad Savov's video from The Verge there, the antenna bands are very differently positioned compared to other devices on the market at the moment. There's been a lot of industrial design going into making this device. And also the software is not as clean and stock as it used to be when Motorola was under Google, but it's still one of the cleanest Android distributions I've seen preloaded on a device. Very little bloatware, very few extra installed apps. I'd say the standout feature from a software standpoint is Alexa integrated, Amazon's service built into the phone as an assistant. So well done to Motorola there, and to Amazon for actually getting onto more devices than just the Fire tablets and Fire and their ecosystem.
Yep, that's something that they'll continue. We'll talk about that a little bit later. That's a thing that Amazon's doing right now, opening things up. You also, Matteo, checked out, and real quick, because we're running a little long at this point, but Alcatel Idol 5, what stood out for you on that one?
I'd say that just, again, the industrial design, there's no standout features really that I could call out, but really nice to hold. Good overall package, and the fact that it will be well priced when it comes to market. It's a really good phone, and it will be very affordable. So,
do they have any
good,
sort of a
good
price
product from Alcatel?
Oh yeah, okay. So €189.
Yeah, so it's going to be very affordable, even in markets where there's no subsidies from networks. So they're bringing good devices to market, making them affordable so more people have access to good phones. And Alcatel, who are part of TCL, they're a TCL brand, have, again, a very relatively light Android distribution with very few customizations. The Alcatel Idol 5S comes with a MediaTek chipset, which seems to be all the rage in that market segment at the moment. We can talk about that later in the episode as well.
All right, cool. So that's the Alcatel Idol 5, and I got that price wrong. It's not 189 euros. It's 239.99 euros. That's what you'll be able to buy that for in the markets that it releases to, in the UK primarily, it looks like. Hey, let's take a break. Ron, you got it.
Yeah, so we want to thank FreshBooks for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And listen, if you're running a business, you want to make running that business easy, fast, and secure, and you can do it all with FreshBooks' new version of their cloud accounting software. You can gain quick access to your spending, outstanding balances, total profit, and other accounting reports in the FreshBooks dashboard. And you can send professional-looking invoices online and get paid an average of 11 days faster. That's so immense when you're waiting for your money and getting paid. Getting paid 11 days faster than average is great. That's what FreshBooks brings to the table. You can see what invoices have been sent, viewed, and then ultimately paid. You can brand your invoices and set recurring invoices. You can send automatic payment reminders and set automatic late fees. You can reward prompt clients and encourage customer loyalty by adding discounts to recurring templates. And when it comes time to create an invoice, FreshBooks helps you know what you did and when you did it. Bill for time by client and by specific projects. Just press play to track your time to the minute. Assign services to projects and designate different rates for each service. Time entries are sorted chronologically on the invoice for you automatically, so you don't need to worry about that. And you can stay connected to your clients and keep tabs on your business no matter where you are with the FreshBooks app. Snap a photo of your receipt or connect your bank account or credit card account to automatically import expenses daily. You can access FAQ articles with FreshBooks' new help widget. Simply click on the blue question mark in the bottom right of your desktop and you get all the answers you need. It's no wonder FreshBooks was included in the Forbes Small Giants list for 2017. So what are you waiting for? Try it free for 30 days. Go to FreshBooks.com/AAA and enter All About Android in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's the most important part. You got to let them know you heard about them from us. So go to FreshBooks.com/AAA and enter All About Android in the section that says How Did You Hear About Us. That's FreshBooks.com/AAA. And we thank FreshBooks for supporting this episode of All About Android and helping business run smoothly. Thank you, FreshBooks.
All right. Thank you, FreshBooks. More hardware. Now, this is kind of IFA related, but not necessarily. These aren't phones that you can just rush out and buy, right? Mateo, you took a look at the Doogie Mix and the Ulefone T1. What is this all about?
Yes. So these are part of a new generation of devices coming out of the smaller OEMs and ODMs in China. They all tend to have MediaTek chipsets. MediaTek have recently released their new system on a chip in the last year or so, where they've passed from the 22 nanometer process for creating a chipset. That means their average transistor is built in the 22 nanometer size down to 16. This gives you more power, as a more processing power with less electricity, which means cooler, more efficient phones that can do more quickly. So the Doogie Mix is the first one I was having a look at. This is running the MediaTek Helio P20 chipset. It's a bezel-less design, almost like your essential phone there, Jason, mm-hmm. which means it has practically no bezels apart from at the bottom. It's glass at the front and glass at the back, and it's all blue. This is quite refreshing to see is a different color other than the black, white, gold models. This is blue.
Banana
on the
for
front.
Scale. I appreciate that.
Yes,
thank you.
Banana for scale. I think that's a requirement of all device reviews. So this is Doogie. It's an OEM which sells millions of devices in Asia. And as well as the MediaTek chipset, it has 6 gigabytes of RAM, 64 gigabytes of storage, expandable with micro SD. It has a 3,500 milliamp hour battery, and a dual camera on the back. This is all for around about $200. That's about £150 sterling if you're looking for it. And for a device with such a thin bezels, it's very affordable. The fingerprint scanner is fast. The selfie camera, as I'm showing on camera at the moment, is on the bottom because there's no space for it at the top. I'm really, really impressed by this device. It's nice to hold if a bit heavy. So I'd say if camera isn't too important to you, as a device, the battery life is excellent. Playing Pokemon Go nonstop from unplugging the phone, I got almost 7 hours of continuous use, and that's with all radios on and playing music in the background. So very good battery life, very efficient chipset, and very affordable. So great device all around if you're not too taken by the camera.
And there'll be a silver version, it looks like, coming soon. The site says, yes. Anyways,
which is a way they keep the product alive is by releasing lots of different colors.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's Doogee's, one way to do it.
Doogee's software is quite heavy, as in they've done a lot of customization on it. It comes with their own launcher, their own news service. It's not ideal. But there's nothing to stop you disabling that and installing Action Launcher or whatever your right. launcher of choice is. Personally, I love Action Launcher, especially on these Chinese devices where the software isn't really optimized for Western markets. But excellent hardware, good value for money from Doogee with the Doogee Mix.
And I mean, you're not going to find these in the U.S. You're only going to find these in the Chinese market. Is that what you're saying? I mean, you could probably find it on Amazon or whatever. But
so you can find them on Amazon in the U.K. I'm sure you can do the same in the U.S. The other option is to order from AliExpress, Flo and I's favorite retail website.
Wait, Mateo, aren't we both wearing AliExpress chic today?
I really have to apologize. I decided to go all...
Jeez, Mateo, we talked about this before the show.
Oh, yeah, don't apologize.
Oh, that's fair.
Don't apologize.
Okay. All right.
Jason, where can I find these wonderful t-shirts I see on twit.tv?
I think you can go to twit.tv/store. By the way, Mateo, that's a great way to get invited back. So you will be invited back another time. And you paid forward one time, so you'll be back another time.
I'm surprised you didn't get the shirt in Mockadile.
It should be an option, a Mateo limited really edition Mateo option. Yeah.
Well, if we're making a limited edition of the t-shirt, may I have one that says a friend of the show on the back?
Oh, man. That really needs to happen. Totally.
Wow. That's a really good idea.
That's a good idea. That's a very good idea.
All right, so the Ulefone T1, what's different here?
So we've been talking about colors and the fact that the Doogee was blue. So the Ulefone T1 is red. So this is similar to the iPhone 7 Plus in industrial design. So it's a nice 2.5D screen. It's a front panel screen. It's full high definition at 5.5 inches. It's an aluminium design. It's red on the back. The front panel is black, which I find very refreshing because sometimes I get frustrated by some of these flagship phones launching with cool colors but a white front.
Wow, that really looks like an iPhone.
It does. But it has a headphone jack. It's courageously managed to add that.
Courageously. Nice.
Not only that, it has a dual camera on the back, which is better than the Doogee one. It has flash, front-facing flash. So if you go back a few pictures, there should be one of the top of the panel. This is great for selfies in the dark. I think it's a few more back. It's the front-facing selfie camera. There we go. Has front-facing flash and something that I didn't really know I had been missing on the Doogee Mix. But it's a notification LED, which is multicolored, which means that if you have apps that can customize that, it's quite handy for knowing what type of notifications you have sitting.
Oh, man. I remember when that was essential for me. That was like, I've got to have a notification LED on my phone. So that's kind of gone away.
I got to tell you, I will say, with the Moto Z2 Force, they don't have one, and I've noticed the difference.
Yeah.
I'm looking, just give me a blinking dot. Give me anything.
So I think this also highlights the fact that there is no such thing as bad phones anymore. The things that make a difference to us now are the little things, like the notification LED or the light sensor to adjust screen brightness automatically. But apart from that, the Ulefone T1, it has the same MediaTek Helio P20 chipset. It has 6 gigabytes of RAM, 64 gigabytes of storage, expandable with microSD. This one is USB Type-C for charging, so definitely a more modern phone in terms of the overall setup. And for the price of around about $200, you're getting a lot of phone for not a lot of money again. The camera on this is significantly better than on the Doogee Mix, but don't expect Google Pixel-like photos.
Hey, Matteo, you mentioned 6 gigs of RAM.
Yes.
The OnePlus 5 has 6 gigs of RAM. Are we just catching up in America? Because I know you know Chinese smartphones pretty well. Are we just catching up to this whole memory game?
I don't know. So I think they're two significantly different markets. Whether 6 gigabytes of RAM in a smartphone are actually necessary is a subject for debate between developers, consumers, etc. Yeah. But I think in Asian markets, having a strong spec sheet is the most important thing. The numbers count.
I hear that matters a lot more overseas than it does here in the US, where specs are kind of not really pushed forward.
So in markets where people tend to buy their phones from online retailers without actually having seen the devices, all they have to go by is numbers. And yes, on paper, 6 gigabytes of RAM is better. In practice, it does make a slight difference, but whether that's worth it, I'm not sure. From a developer standpoint, I look at it and think, well, 6 gigabytes of RAM are all very well, but it means that from a software development standpoint, you can get sloppy and your software isn't optimized. You're going to make up for it by having extra memory. I would prefer to see a device with maybe 4 gigabytes of RAM, the same chipset, but highly optimized software to deliver a better experience. And logically, you'd expect less storage use as well. But that's just me being a bit more on the developer focus of how these devices are released and how they are usable as a product. But I'd say 6 gigabytes of RAM are great. Both these devices are running MediaTek chipsets, and I have a feeling that these are reference devices. MediaTek is doing a lot of the lifting and product development and software development for these companies, and they just are acting as marketing companies. But they sell lots of devices. This is something that globally is very important, and MediaTek is getting better at it. They're not at the 10 nanometer Snapdragon 835 level yet, but they're making do with older manufacturing of chipsets with more cores. So whereas the Snapdragon 835 has 8 cores, the Helio X series, their flagship series, has 10 cores. So it's an interesting thing to look at in the market. And the fact that some bigger brands, such as Sony, we were speaking about earlier, are starting to use MediaTek chipsets more. So is Alcatel.
Interesting. I'm sure Xiaomi has used MediaTek before as well, maybe.
But more recently, they've moved on to Qualcomm Snapdragon chipsets.
That's right. And actually, we have this story that is not IFA related, but, you know, nonetheless, it's hardware, so we'll talk about it. Xiaomi is now in on the Android One plan with a partnership with Google. The Mi A1 is going to focus on the Indian market, at least initially, and then it's going to broaden out to more markets where Xiaomi's brand is super strong. 5.5-inch 1080p display, dual cameras on the back with 2x optical zoom and portrait, kind of like a portrait DSLR style mode. Snapdragon 625, as you said, 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of storage, 3080 milliamp hour battery, USB-C, stock Android Nougat at launch, Oreo by the end of the year, which has me say, wait a minute, this is Android One. Why end of the year? Why not sooner? But maybe that's just being critical. Xiaomi says this will be one of the first to get Android P. Yep, they're already talking up their Android P game. That seems like a really long time from now, but hey, you got to start somewhere.
You say that, but remember a year ago, we were just trying Nougats. Nougat.
Yep.
Yeah. Was anyone Jason, talking about...
Jason, you just want to delay the Oreos that you got to eat.
I'll be there to help you soon, Jason. I promise.
Thank
I'll
you.
Help you.
Good. We can share the yeah. Oreo heavy lifting because yes. I don't know if I can make it a whole year eating Oreos. apparently, because it has the dual cameras on the back, it's stock the way Android One devices are, but Google's camera app doesn't support dual cameras. So the camera app on this particular device is Xiaomi's camera app. So there's a little bit of a difference. And this is also the most kind of spec and most expensive, most spec'd out device. It's more like a mid-ranger, even though Android One devices are considered, you know, would up until now, I think you would throw those into the lower end kind of spectrum of devices. This is going to be 14,999 rupees, which converts to around 234 US dollars. That's not an insignificant amount, but based on the markets that Android One targets, that's on the higher end when you're talking. I mean, that's there's probably a lot of smartphones in that category. This one just happens to be from Xiaomi and be an Android One device. So I'm curious to see it. Curious to see. Oh, also, you guys would appreciate this. It's the first Android One device without on-screen navigation buttons. Instead, it has the capacitive buttons, and they're swapped. The way
cool.
Samsung used to
really
do.
Really appreciate that.
So I don't know why they did that on an Android
Good
One
choice.
Device.
Good choice.
It's probably because Xiaomi do that by default. That's their hardware layout. And in India, Xiaomi is an extremely successful company. That was part of Hugo Barra's push into the market. Right. So for a lot of users, having the back button on the left side of the phone is unnatural. They're just not used to it. And so Xiaomi's, in a way, ahead of Google in the Indian market, and also showing that Google's willing to make compromise on their fundamental UX of at what in other markets is the Bible.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Absolutely. You put it that way and then it's like, okay, well then I get it. You know, different markets have different requirements or different standards, let's say. So if that's something, a standard that particular market looks forward to and that Xiaomi already produces to, then I guess it would make sense that it would be reversed. But in our context here, I see that and I'm just like, oh God, I hate it when they're reversed like that. But they're not selling these phones here, so it doesn't matter. The fact that we see that and
I have to say, I often get confused because I have a Huawei Honor 9 and a Xiaomi Mi 6, which are similar size devices with capacitive buttons underneath the screen. And the Huawei Honor 9 by default has the Google layout, so from left to right, back, home, multitasking, whereas the Xiaomi Mi 6 is the other way around. Mm-hmm. And as this is a very niche problem, I sometimes tend to go back too much or swap apps too often.
Right. Getting them mixed up. Well, there you go. That was a lot of hardware today. Even the top news had a lot of hardware in it. But hey, this is what happens post IFA. Yeah, it totally is that time of year.
I mean, the leaves will fall from the trees and the phones will be announced.
Yeah.
And introduced.
The leaves, aka the phones, will fall from the tree. Hopefully they land on a padded yellow cloth so as not to scratch the phone, those delicate leaves.
Such a delicate tulip. I do like your microfiber cloth, Jason. speaking of housework, Samsung had an event at IFA, but there was no mention of Android at all. Maybe it's one for this year in Tizen, the Twig TV show still in production. They launched a new version of the Gear smartwatch.
Yeah.
But interestingly, during the presentation, there was absolutely no mention of Android or Tizen, which means Samsung are now in a post-tech or post-spec era.
Yeah, post OS. I mean, even with the Note 8, they didn't announce. They never even mentioned Android once, you know. And they've been doing that for the last couple of years, right? Samsung really, is happiest when you don't think about what it's running on, but rather that you have a Samsung device and your Samsung device talks in a special way and works in a special way with other Samsung devices of other types. And don't think about the OS. That's not an information that you need to know. I think that's Samsung's MO. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to jump into the arena because we have four apps to show off this week because there's four of us. It makes sense, right? But before we do that, let's thank the sponsor of today's episode, and that is Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. The mortgage process, the whole experience, if you've ever gone through it, you know already that it wasn't keeping up with the times. It was dated. It needed a client-focused technological revolution, and that is why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. It's simple. It allows you to fully understand all the details, be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. It's convenient. Their trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. It's also powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds based on your income, your assets, your credit. Rocket Mortgage can analyze all of the home loan options for which you qualify, and then find the one that's just right for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. If you want to get started, all you have to do is go to rocketmortgage.com/android. That's rocketmortgage.com/android. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support of All About Android and the TWIT Network. And now, Josh, it's time for the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
All right. Last week, we had a poll of epic proportions, or just another poll. And
it was epic. They're always epic.
They're always epic. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Framed 2. I didn't realize that. That's awesome. Wins with 41% of the votes. Aqueducts second at 37%. And Informant third at 22%.
Look at that. And so with those results through 35 weeks, Flo, you missed last week, you fell to last place with 87 points. Jason, you even though with the win, you climbed out of the basement to 89 points. You're in third. Right. The guests are in second with 90 points, and I'm sitting pretty in first with 91 points. Important to note that there are 4 points between Flo in last and me in first. Which means it is anybody's ball game.
Very close call.
This is such a crazy way to score this thing. It's
going great. I love this. Let's keep this going.
It's really cool because honestly, I mean, Jason, you are 3 points out of first place, right? The guests are 2 points out of first place, right? Flo with a win could leapfrog all of us into first. It's amazing. I couldn't have hoped for this to work out as well as working out. So, and I'm not just saying that because I'm in first place.
All right. So Flo, that means that you are up first, and I'm not going to hold the phone. I'm going to have the phone inside the little yellow thing because I'm afraid to touch it.
That's okay. The only thing you won't be able to do with this app is take a picture of the PDF of take a picture or something you'd like to annotate.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah, so listen, using a Chromebook can be very limiting when it comes to the apps you have available to you. So, of course, that's when you start dipping into the Google Play, the App Store. And I have found Adobe Fill and Sign to be one of those really helpful apps that just has really come in handy. I sign PDFs. I sign contracts. I need to put in my name and all these other details on documents and send them through email. And Adobe Fill and Sign has just been super easy to use. It's awesome. You can take a picture of whatever you need to annotate, and it'll turn it into a PDF that you can add text to on individual lines, and that you can even add your signature, which you can actually record, or rather you can draw the signature with a stylus. You can log it, and then you could just easily grab it, place it wherever you need on the page, export it, send it, boom. It's just super easy. I really like it. And what Jason is showing on camera right now is one of the preview PDFs that come included with the app, so you can kind of get a feel for how to use it. The nice thing is, as you're typing in things, you can adjust the font as you like. All you have to do is tap where you'd like to put information and start typing. I find this to be a lot more. You can actually, there you go. So Jason just did a demo to show how you would like fill in a little block, right? I suppose that's what it's called. It'll put a little check mark in there for you. It's super easy to use. I like it because on the Chromebook, the two-in-ones, you can use your finger if things get kind of annoying on the touchscreen, and then you could just type everything easily with the keyboard. It's also really easy to use on the phone. It's a very helpful aid to have on your phone or your Chromebook. So if you need something to just more easily fill in PDFs and send things off and do work on the go, I found Adobe Fill and Sign to be very helpful. The only thing that is a slight bummer about it is that I wish it integrated with my Adobe account, because I am a Creative Cloud subscriber, which is why I keep defaulting to these Adobe apps. And it would be kind of cool if I could, I don't know, back up PDFs to the cloud or something. But other than that, you know, great utility to have.
Kind of strange that it isn't, to be honest. Adobe likes to make all their stuff kind of work together.
I think the point about this is that you just download it and you can use it. Like, you don't need to worry about accounts. You don't need to have all this stuff filled in. And actually, Jason, after you're done filling in your signature, if you go into the little settings menu up there in the corner of the main interface.
Okay. So settings.
There you go. A little settings. There you go. In the settings. I'm sorry. Not in the settings. But if you go back and you tap on the person icon that looks like a person, you can put in your information so that it very easily just autofills.
Oh, that's neat. I like that.
And it's just per device, which I guess is annoying. But like, if you don't want to deal with all this cloud stuff, which quite frankly, sometimes I don't, even though I said I would. But it's nice to have the choice not to use it. It'd be nice to have the choice to use it. But regardless, great free utility. Just Adobe Fill and Sign.
Oh, there's my signature. Totally, yep. My authentic signature.
Oh, totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to go visit you on 12345 H Street.
Okay. All right. I'll see you later.
All right. Cool.
Right on. Excellent. Adobe Fill and Sign.
Very utilitarian today.
Yeah, totally. That's a good tool. It's a good tool to have. Excellent. And that is free. Ron, you are up next.
Yes. So I have an app that, you know, in the arena, we have a loose set of rules. One of those rules is that there are no no-brainer apps. And most of the apps published by Google fall under this. We can't do Gmail. We can't do photos, that sort of thing. But I feel as if the research at Google team is a little different out there, because these aren't the standard apps that are going to come installed on a phone, but interesting experiments with an Android. We talked about this app on the show a few weeks ago, but I finally got to play with it with a good camera on the Moto Z2 Force, the app Motion Stills. And I wanted to bring it to the arena because I will admit, every now and then I do have a little bit of envy of some things that are over on the iOS side of the fence. And one of those is those little, they've got the little live photo. Like, my girlfriend takes a picture and I see it kind of animate. And I was like, whoa, what is that? And she's like, oh, it's this dumb thing or whatever. But I'm like, that's pretty cool. So what Motion Stills allows you to do is a camera that allows you to take a picture. And what it does is, it instead of just taking a still picture, it takes several seconds of video. And so there it is. It's right there. Now, once you've taken that video, what's interesting about this is you can share it, and you can choose to share it. There, hit the share button, the bottom right. Yeah, there you go. And you can choose to share it as a video, which is the video that Jason just took, or there it is as a GIF.
And listen, I've tried to fight it. I'm an old man on my lawn yelling at clouds, but the world loves the GIFs. And especially with Twitter and with Slack and with things like that, where the language with GIFs occurs all the time, the ability to take a quick video and export it as a GIF is a godsend, especially if you want to, be the envy of all your friends, and you want to show Jason giving the camera the finger.
The pointer finger.
Okay. So the motion stills allows you to take a quick couple of second video and then save it as a GIF. But then it's also got a cool, if you go back, Jason, hit the back button. There you go, slide down. You can also hit the second one, which is fast forward, which allows you to take a couple of seconds of video. And what it will do is it will, you can stop it at any point. There's no set duration on it. But what it will do then is it will speed up that video and play it in a fast mode. So if you swipe up and tap on the picture itself.
Well, that's a different one. That's the first one I did. I don't know why.
Is that the first one I did? Oh, yeah. So hit it again. There you go. And do some stuff in front of the camera.
Woohoo! Yeah, doo-doo. Okay. All done. There we go. Okay.
So now if we swipe up and you hit on that, you see it speeds it up. And so you can do a little kind of fast motion little thing there, which is always fun. And you can control how fast it actually goes. And then you could save that out as a GIF as well. So good job on the on Google on research at Google motion stills, neat little app there. So there you go.
A pretty critical component of this also is the stabilization that it's using.
Yes.
So you can turn that off and you see how shaky it is, and then you turn it on and it stabilizes.
Smooth. Yeah. It's kind of impressive to see that. So yeah.
So there you go. Saw it on this one too. If you turn it off, it's like all shaky and bumpy and everything. And you turn it on, smooth.
Smooth sailing.
Oh, yeah.
So, if you want to make GIFs of your friends, and that's right, chat room, GIFs of your friends, you can do that easily with motion stills.
Awesome. Motion stills. Okay. Wow. I went without the cloth. What was I thinking?
What were you thinking, my friend?
I may have accumulated a couple of scratches in that short amount of time. Mateo, tell me, does your app have anything to do with goats?
Well, I think it would be wrong of me to change my theme from the last few appearances of All About Androids. So yes, it does have goats in it. The app is actually called Talking Goat.
Of course.
Talking Goat or Tolkien Goat?
Oh my gosh, look how cute.
It is very cute. I thought I'd get Flo's vote with this. So this is a virtual goat which lives in your phone, and you have lots of different functions. This is a great app to keep children happy and entertained, or even just have a giggle to yourself when you're sitting on a plane exhausted after IFA. So this is a goat, and you'll see there's buttons at the bottom which gives you different functionality. So this is your disco goat.
Okay. And
there should be a function where you can get the goat to record your voice, and it will repeat it in a high-pitched tone, similar to what you were doing earlier in the episode. Sadly, this app is riddled with adverts, which obviously... come goat's with many eat. Free apps.
Yeah.
A goat's got to eat. Someone's got to get their carrots.
So if you I talk, play the harp, will it mimic me? Is that what it does?
Yes, it does. And I believe it's if you need to put the volume up.
All right.
Okay. All right, goat. So I'm saying words, and you're going to say what I said after I'm done talking. Is that it? Huh? But I did. I did. I gave you what you needed, goat. Give me what I need. Say things.
Maybe the Google Play video will be a better way of demoing it.
No, see, so I heard it here. I'll hold the mic up to it because I'm talking right now. And then once I'm done talking, it's going to mimic me. And so I'm going to be done now. No. No. Come on, goat. Talk to me. Yeah. Okay. There we go.
There we go.
Talk to
me. So it's very good fun to keep children entertained. It can also play the harp. There's a selection of musical instruments.
It can also play the harp.
I like how it's a good app to keep children entertained or Mateo on the plane.
Yes. But it's so cute. And if you don't interact with the goat after a while, it taps on the screen to say, hey, play with me.
Yeah, it's almost
as interactive as my cat.
Almost.
All right, what else you got to say, goat, huh? Am I talking enough for you? Is this good enough for you, goat?
What else you got to say, goat, huh? Am I talking enough for you? Is this good enough for you, goat?
That's an aggressive goat.
Yeah, that goat's got an attitude problemo.
Sporting the tude. Whatever.
And so that's Talking Goat. Very cute, very fun game to pass the time. And obviously, a vote for Talking Goat is a vote for Team GG&G, which is guests, Gina, and goats.
Precisely.
Oh boy.
I'm a little disappointed that it was Talking Goat and not Tolkien Goat. I was hoping for it was a goat that read the Silmarillion to you.
Sadly, in Tolkien goats, all goats were eaten.
Good point.
All right.
Those hobbits need their 5 meals a day.
They do.
My app is one that's actually been out for a very, very long time. Just not in Play Store. And now it's in the Play Store, and apparently anyone can get it because, as we were talking earlier, Amazon is kind of opening things up. They have been for a while. One of their longest holdouts, however, has been Amazon Prime Video. Before, if you wanted to get Amazon Prime Video, if you were an Amazon Prime subscriber, by the way, you get access to a bunch of streaming content through Amazon Prime Video. If you wanted to get that on your Android device, in the beginning, you had to own an Amazon device. And that was how you did it. Then they opened it up so that as long as you went to the Amazon site and downloaded the Amazon app and then did a search for Amazon Prime Video and then installed it through the Amazon app and then logged in and everything, you had to go through all these hoops in order to install this dang app on your device. And they never brought it to the Play Store. Well, guess what? It's here because they have. That's exactly what they did. They brought the Amazon Prime Video app to the Play Store. So now it's super easy to find, which honestly, as a Prime Video, as a Prime subscriber, I don't watch a whole lot of Prime Video content, but there is a lot there and they're doing more exclusives. And sometimes the content that's here can fill in the gaps if you also happen to have a subscription with Netflix. Maybe you don't subscribe to Amazon Prime Video specifically for that. You subscribe to it for a number of other Prime things. Well, guess what? You also have access to all of this, a bunch of video content, and you primarily you want to tap into included with Prime. Thank you, Ron. And this is going to give you all the stuff that you can stream that's included with Amazon Prime. So
Unsolved Mysteries is included. You should look up Unsolved Mysteries.
It's the new Unsolved Mysteries. It's the restored Robert Stack Unsolved Mysteries, which is the only Unsolved Mysteries there should be.
Precisely.
I love Unsolved Mysteries.
No, I agree. I do too. Where? Which is why I'm very fearful for my life every day of my life. But anyway.
So anyways, if you're looking for yet another stream of content to watch, and you wanted to do, you know, you happen to have a Prime subscription. Now Amazon's made it. They've done what they really should have done a very long time ago, is they've made it easy for the people that are already paying for their service to get to the video content that they've paid for.
Hey, Jason, I got a question for you. Does this support Chromecast?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question.
Good question.
We have a Chromecast. I'm guessing it doesn't. They've never.
My guess is that it doesn't. They've never. No. Yeah. So I have an Amazon Fire Stick purely so I can watch Amazon content because it doesn't support Chromecast. But if they added Chromecast to this app, I would need that stick. I could get a port back.
I don't think so. I mean, I can't find it right now, but that would be a pretty big switch on Amazon's part.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure we would have heard that would have been part of the headline.
Big news,
They finally support Chromecast.
I can just clarify that. So the app itself does not support Chromecast, but if you have a cast-enabled device, you can cast from the device itself. So once you're playing the video on the device.
Yeah, that's never any good, though. The screen cast is never, it's always a pain in the butt with the orientation, and then you get the UI layer and all. Like, no, I want native Chromecast support. That's what, so I spent $30 for a Fire Stick or whatever it was, or $60 or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like that has already paid back. I mean, I was watching The Tick earlier today, you know, on Amazon Prime. I'm watching The Last Tycoon on Amazon Prime. You know, there's some really, really good shows that you know don't get talked about as much because they're only Prime, and it's so hard to watch them. And if this makes it easier to watch them, then great. So
yeah, this will definitely make it easier.
If you have a newer LG device, such as the LG G6 or the LG V30, Amazon have made their content available in 2:1 aspect ratio. So some of the shows, such as The Man in the High Castle, have been filmed in 2:1 aspect ratio. So you can consume that better on your LG device. It's a very, very good excuse to watch The Man in the High Castle again.
Nice. Cool. So yeah, so check it out. If you're a Prime subscriber, get this app. Now it's really easy to get, and it was always just a pain before. I'm really happy that they finally did this. It seemed kind of like a quiet release too, like suddenly there it was.
I had no idea, and now that you just told me, I just installed it on my entertainment devices.
Nice. And that is that. Amazon Prime Video, get it. So there's your apps for this week. twit.to/AAApoll333. You can place your vote for your favorite app this week. Is it Amazon Prime Video? Is it Adobe Fill and Sign? Although I may have gotten that backwards. Sorry. Sign and Fill. Motion Stills. It was in the dock that way. I fixed it in the dock. Talking Goat. Those are the four. Adobe Fill and Sign, Motion Stills, Talking Goat, and Amazon Prime Video. twit.to/AAApoll333.
What's Josh going to vote for? Let's see.
He's going to vote for the goat.
Yes, you guessed it.
He said he's not a robot.
So predictable. So predictable.
I know Josh very well. He is, in fact, a robot.
Josh.
I am not a robot.
I am not a robot. That's it for this week. Mateo, it's time for you to go back to bed. Are you going back to bed?
Hopefully, yeah.
All right. Well, let's get you off so you can go back to sleep, man. Really appreciate you taking time out of your morning, early morning, to talk Android with us. It was really great having you on today. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me back on the show. As always, it's a pleasure. Hopefully, the Goat app will get all the votes this week, and the guests will be back on top.
That remains to be seen. Yeah, absolutely. Anytime, man. Next time you're in the area, let us know. I know you said you were going to be traveling into the Bay Area sometime soon. When you're here, let us know. We'll bring you in. Always.
I definitely will. Thank you. And a quick shout out to our friends Martin and Yolanda from the Netherlands. They're at Google Developer Days in Krakow, Poland at the moment. So hopefully they learn lots of interesting stuff and are able to share some of their immense knowledge with other developers. Awesome. It sounds as if a lot's going on in the Kotlin space this year.
Oh, yeah.
So kind big of shout a big out thing. To Martin and Yolanda.
Kotlin, kind of a big deal this year.
It is.
In the name of my firstborn child. This is going to be Kotlin.
You are dedicated to this Android thing, Flo. That's why.
Why not?
You.
Lean in.
Anyways, Mateo, thank you again. CoolSmartphone.com. Where do you want people to go to follow all the stuff you're doing?
So, yes, all my ramblings are on coolsmartphone.com or on the Cool Smartphone podcast, which is nowhere near as good as All About Android. It's and fantastic. You can follow me on Twitter on at Todaleo.
You know what I noticed listening to Cool Smartphone podcasts is that sometimes they call you Matt and not Mateo. And I've known you as Mateo for a very long time. Do your real friends call you Matt? Do I need to start calling you Matt?
I think my real friends call me something that we can't say on the Twitch network. It's so rude. Okay. No, I'm just joking. Matt, Mateo, dog, whatever you choose to call me, I usually respond.
Just don't call me late for dinner. My dad used to say that. Thank you again, Mateo. Appreciate it. Ron, what about you?
Yeah, so you can head over to Twitter and follow me at RonXO to get the latest. And there you'll find that just this past weekend, I had a big podcasting milestone. First, I had the over at iFanboy.com, we had our 600th episode.
Wow.
So you go to iFanboy.com, yeah, and you can hear we did a three-hour live stream answering audience questions and things like that. So that was a fun time. So that's over at iFanboy.com where we're talking about comic books and comic book movies and TV shows. That's why I was watching The Tick earlier because we'll be talking about The Tick soon. We just did The Defenders on Netflix. So lots of fun stuff over at iFanboy.com. And then on Sunday, recorded and released the last episode of Twin Peaks The Return coverage on Damn Fine Podcast over at DamnFinePodcast.com. Me and Tom Merritt. We're joined by a couple of guests, and we talked about the last two parts of the Twin Peaks The Return, blew our minds. And good news is that Damn Fine Podcast is not ending. We're taking a little break, and we're come back in a couple of weeks, talk about some reactions to the show. There's another Twin Peaks book coming out in October, so we'll be around. So go to DamnFinePodcast.com and subscribe today. Go back to the beginning. Watch episode one of Twin Peaks and then listen to the podcast all the way through. So there you go.
Dang. I'm super impressed. That was a long trek.
It was,
you guys pulled
it was
it off.
Quite a, yeah, it was weird because I had a similar feeling to when I completed Goodfellas Minute, which is still available at goodfellasminute.com, where it's just like, it's this grind and at times you hate it. But then as soon as it was over the next day, I was just like, oh man, I'm kind of sad. It was this thing that was a part of our life and now it's over. So.
Yep. It defined you for a certain amount of months and now it's business as usual again.
It's gone.
Yeah.
So, yep.
All right. Thank you, Ron. What about you, Flo? What's new in your world?
Well, this podcast defines me wholeheartedly. but also, you can just find me on the internet, on Twitter at OhThatFlo. I am running around a lot lately. So just for now, keep up with me on Twitter at OhThatFlo. I'll let you know what's going on.
Excellent. Appreciate that. Thank you, Flo. What about you, Mac and Josh?
Actually, I'm going to Japan in a couple of days.
Oh,
so that'll be fun.
That's awesome.
So a question, because I was going to say follow my Instagram story, but like, what do you guys do? Do you guys prioritize Snapchat or Instagram? Because every time I want to share something on a story, I always am like fighting between the two.
Instagram.
You should share it on Instagram. Everybody's on Instagram.
I know, but I feel like, I don't know. There's some people that still are on Snapchat that I don't think are on it. I don't know. Anyway,
Snapchat is for confessionals.
I'll prioritize Instagram.
If you do something you regret, Snapchat.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's me every day. So live like me, Josh. Wild and free.
Do me a favor, Josh.
Yes.
Always have this in the back of your mind while you're in Japan. Strange Oreo cookie flavors, buy package, bring back.
Yes, absolutely.
Not to put you to work, but I want you to think about that every waking moment of everywhere you go in Japan.
I will.
Okay.
Green tea ice cream flavor Oreos are my personal favorite. But
see if you can find that.
You'll find all sorts. Or all sorts of Kit Kats and Oreos.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, you can follow me, The Mac and Josh, on Instagram. I'll put them on Instagram on my story there. Or am I regular post? That's another thing. When I'm in Instagram, I don't know whether to do a story or have a regular post in the feed. It's like there's two different places now. It's crazy.
I say to do the regular post because that's posterity. I hate this ephemeral. It expires BS.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Ron. Throw my hands in the air and don't do anything.
But isn't that life? It's so fleeting.
Nope. Not actually, photo albums. Jason, photo albums are around forever.
That is what I do most of the time. Throw my hands up in the air and not do anything.
Like, it's too complicated. I don't want to make these decisions. I'm just not going to do anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We want to leave a legacy.
Do we?
That's a good question. Do we? Do we really?
You can follow me at jasonhowell.net, yellowgoldmusic.com. Also, I am on the new Screensavers this weekend. I mentioned that earlier with Leo Laporte. So email some questions. If you've got questions about Android stuff, maybe we can bring you on in the call-in segment or we'll answer it in mailbag or whatever. If you got something you think that Leo and I can tackle Android-related or otherwise, newscreensavers@twit.tv. Send us an email. And maybe we'll bring you on the show, or maybe we'll answer your question on the show. I would love to do that. So send that. newscreensavers@twit.tv. But that is it for this show for this week. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. If you want to send us an email or a video mail, My phone just went off. AAA at twit.tv. Find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. Find a subreddit at twitaaa.reddit.com. Show notes and past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. Go there, subscribe. You'll always have our new episodes. Also find our episodes on YouTube, iTunes, Pocket Cast, wherever you find podcasts. And catch us live every Tuesday starting at 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That is it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.